This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Jadi kami mengalu-alukan mereka ini untuk mengadakan Bersih Lima. Lihat kekuatan mereka, lihat kepercayaan rakyat kepada mereka. Jadi kalau Mariana Chin ini termasuk Ambiga, termasuk juga Tun Mahathir and the gang dipersilakan. Kami menunggu tarikh dan waktu bila mereka akan adakan perhimpunan yang mereka katakan itu.
You just heard Sungai Besar UMNO Division Chief Datuk Jamal Yunus announcing the Red Shirts group will hold a rally to counter the Bersih Five movement on November 19th. The Red Shirts group has grabbed media headlines over the past few weeks due to violent attacks on a Bersih 2.0 supporter who was pulled off his motorcycle. Journalists have also been victims of attacks by the rival group's supporters, which raises concerns as to if there will be a clash between the Bersih Yellow Shirts and the Red Shirts come rally day. The Bersih and Red Shirts rallies are recent examples of social movements. Malaysians have witnessed street rallies since the late 90s, namely the Reformasi movement in 1998. Dr. Koo Yin Hui is a senior lecturer at the Department of International and Strategic Studies in University Malaya. Her research focuses on transnational activism, protest research, human rights and the democratization in Southeast Asia.
When we look at the contemporary Malaysian politics, since the late 1990s, basically since the rise of the contending discourses when it comes to the politics, the political landscape in the country was not only marked by the political parties, but also we can see there's a growing of the social protests and movements. The one that received a lot of attention was the Reformasi movement, but that was basically very much personality driven, which is very different with the movement that's currently happening in Malaysia's politics. That is more on issue space.
From the movement's perspective, Ying Hui feels the trend of counter-movements like the Red Shirts is not new.
For example, as a response to the Bersih 2 rally back in 2011, we can see that there's a conservative Malay group, Perkasa. They also launched counter-protest initiatives under the name of Gerak Aman, or Peace Movement. However, these counter-movements that are mobilized around the ethno-religious issues were aimed at more defending their race and religion against the ethnic minorities in the country. What's different this time around is that it seems to be more organized to some extent in terms of the numbers and the mobilization strength of the Red Shirt, as well as the frequency of the disruption is also much higher.
According to Yin Hui, the rise of the Red Shirts, however, shows the Bersih movement is somewhat of an achievement.
First, from the movement perspective, it has shown that Bersih 2 is pretty much successful in having impacts on the country regarding the need for electoral reform provoked by the emergence of the Red Shirt. However, a counter-movement like the Red Shirt, they hold the opposing beliefs to the social movement. In this case, Bersih is seen as being anti-Malay, anti-Islam and dominated by ethnic Chinese who supported opposition. So that brings up to the second condition on why the Red Shirts seems to be rising and impacting on the Malaysia's politics. Possibly the political powers of the Malays are challenged from the Red Shirts perspective, because if you look at their slogans and action, it was easily seen that the Red Shirts, despite their claims, they was vying for attention from the mass media and public to actually focus on the rights of Malays and also to put up the issues of the religion. Another point that I would like to bring up is that some religious scholars also have voiced concern about street protests, and they consider protests as haram, is forbidden. However, the political scandal surrounding the country right now has raised calls to the stakeholders. So I think it has greatly impacted the support among the majority Malay Muslim base. So both these conditions give rise to the Red Shirt and the availability of the political allies to assist the counter-mobilizations that posed by the Red Shirt that we are seeing right now in the country.
But will the movement-counter-movement dynamic have any effect on the political landscape of Malaysia?
I don't think so. While we have seen that the Red Shirts are more organized right now and the same movement has been there for 10 years, I think the impacts of the social movement in Malaysia politics or race-based politics are still rather limited. Because in the end of the day, Malaysia's political problems do not actually just originate from our heterogeneous society. They stem from the fact that certain members of patronage network may actually seize an opportunity that created by all these massive mobilizations to promote their own interests. When Malaysians look at the Bersih versus Richard, people look at it from the perspective of just solely from the political point of view. But if we look at the movement perspective, it is very common that normally the counter-movement like this would have the necessary resources already because by the challenges. So I think based on the dynamics that we look at right now, we can see that the movement launched by the groups from below and attacked the established interests. Since the response to these attacks, the red shirts are often linked with the established interests and organizations. So the counter movement's linkage to the established order will actually can help, or at the same time, it can actually hinder the resources that they already have. So this is to emphasize that the political allies the red shirt is depending on right now is a key condition that actually help to develop the counter movement like them.
Yin Hui explains the role of authorities in shaping the growth of the respective movements.
It goes back to how the authorities should be managing the political violence, the movement, the disruption tactics that they are using right now, because the state helped to shape the counter movements, and social movements normally go against the established interests. The counter movements automatically, from the movement perspective, they will protect the interests of their own political allies. That is referring to the state. So by opting to whether suppress or tolerate or encourage all these counter-movement mobilizations, a state can actually affect the intensity of counter-movement activity directed against the Bersih.
So the big question here is, what is the foreseeable scenario during next month's Bersih 5?
Most important things in this is that to see how the authorities are going to actually manage this counter-movement dynamic that's going to happen or already happening. We have seen that the IGP has mentioned both Bersih and the Red Shirt movements will be investigated, basically over the failure to actually notify them regarding their gatherings. So he used the Peaceful Assembly Act as one of the arguments. However, both sides so far have been investigated. If you look at the Red Shirt, they have been investigated, but we do not see much of what's happening next, apart from just the investigation. I must say that there remains a lot of uncertainty as to the nature of the Bersih and the Red Shirts interacting leading up to the mass rally, because we have still roughly about a month to go. This time around, possibly there is a chance that violence could possibly happen if the authorities are not stepping in to actually control the situation. Because as we see, the first day of the Bersih convoys already witnessed a clash between the Yellow Shirts and the Red Shirts. So I think the role of authorities are very crucial in dealing with this.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.